Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, November the 6th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope this finds everyone well. Today, our topic is the secret to a good joke. Pay attention to attention. With us today in our virtual studio is Susan Geedy, which we'll jump into things in a moment. But for now, just a few announcements. Got a brand new logo on the Attention Talk Radio website. I'm kind of proud of that. If you get a chance, take a look at it. Also, we got a couple shows coming up to catch the next couple topics. Hit blogtalkradio.com/attentiontalkradio, and you can see some of the things that we have coming up. But today, we have Susan. You with us, Susan?
I'm there, Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey. Susan, today's kind of interesting because I got so much to talk about with you. It's crazy. One, we got just jokes. Two is we've got your personal story. And three is I'd like to kind of emphasize and highlight how attention plays a role in jokes. So I guess to kind of get things off, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of tell them how you kind of got involved in comedy, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay, well, let's see. I am a single mother of three right now. I presently own my own ultrasound company here in Tampa, Florida, which happens to be lovely today. And I went through a pretty, I think, turbulent time in my life when I went through my divorce back in 99. I have to admit, I was raised here in Tampa and barely sheltered and found myself in a predicament that many women do in their, sort of time in the middle of their life that I wasn't necessarily, I think, well prepared for. And my mother's Cuban. We were raised very conservatively Catholic. And I think I found myself over the period of what turned out to be a very long and arduous, divorce period that I was finding that people's responses to my situation were almost tragic, but at the same time, almost, you couldn't script them. You couldn't write this stuff, the, response that I got in a lot of scenarios. And so I find myself, after the divorce saying, gosh, I would love to somehow do a one-woman show or put a voice to some of these experiences. And, I found myself looking at what I had gone through, in a way of saying, how do I come out of this hole at the end of it? I don't want to be bitter. I wasn't a bitter person ever. They almost always describe me as the girl with rose-colored glasses, and I was feeling like I was losing that tint. And all of a sudden, comedy seemed like a great way to put sort of a great spin on the things that had happened to me. And I also felt that because comedy tends to be a lot of truth, that women, particularly my age, might have something that they could relate to. So
that's fascinating because the way you've described your experience is you said that you couldn't script this, like you had some material. What do you mean by that?
I think my mother particularly gave me a lot of impetus for what I wrote. She had an enormously difficult time. It was not an era that she grew up in. They didn't believe in divorce. You were married for the rest of your life, et cetera. My ex-husband was a physician. She basically felt like I had it made and I was destroying everything. And, to keep it tasteful on the radio, I'm not even sure I can quote some of the things that she would often say to me, but she just totally could not comprehend. And I think because of that, because she wasn't supportive, because I had felt like I had let her down and her crazy comments, it was stuff like, did she really say this to me? are you truly that obtuse? And in her crazy sort of hysterical Latin way, it turned out to be ridiculous and funny at the same time. And funny was a great way to look at it, because you could be really sad and just sort of resentful. And I found myself that did not help me whatsoever. It didn't set an example to my kids, you know, and I thought that was also important. My kids were going to look to me and how I handled, you know, the situation that I was in as a model for what they might have to, you know, cope with in the years to come. So if I handled it well and graceful and dignified some days, you know, and with a sense of humor with it, you know, that this was what life just happened to throw me, and, you know, laughter turned out to be a great way of coping with it.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hearing that as you're supposed to deal with it, you just started kind of making light of it and making some jokes out of it, which actually just kind of helped you kind of get through it.
Right. I would end up, you know, I would practice, I would tell you at parties and things like that and say, you know, my mother just told me this. I just got off the phone with my mother, and it would make all my friends laugh. They were like, oh, my God, she's crazy. You know, and I said, yeah, you know, you can't believe what she just said to me. And the more I would find that people would respond, you know, by laughing, I just thought, you know, I've got something here. Initially, I had thought that the comedy would make me a better speaker in my professional, you know, arena. I was mm-hmm. going to use the comedy to be just a better professional speaker. And then all of a sudden I got up there and just found my niche and loved it. I found that I wasn't alone, which was what comedy sort of taught me. There's a lot of truth and pain. And there were a lot of people that had been through a lot worse, you know, and could really relate to some of my own craziness. So it turned out to be a lot of fun.
Well, one of the things I like to highlight on the show is how what you pay attention to has an effect on what's obvious. So one of the things that I'm hearing you say is, like, you know, you were in the woes of this stuff at a time it was somewhat difficult. So in order to kind of get through it, kind of deal with it, you just started playing around, just making light of the situation. And you said a second ago you go to, like cocktail parties and you would just start telling jokes about it?
I wouldn't tell jokes. I was telling people about, you know, they would often be, you know, what had happened to me right before I walked into the party, or the phone call I had gotten right at the party, or if I was in the hair salon, you know, my mother would call and say, oh, you know, or something that had happened to me, you know, when I first started to date. And all of a sudden I would found as I would recount back these stories, people were dying. They were like, that did not happen. And I swear to God, I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. In fact, one of the jokes I wanted to use today was that when you asked me to be on your show, and, you know, part of your subject matter was, you know, do comics have maybe a greater incidence of having ADD? I started to look on the internet, you know, for subject material, and then I got distracted. So anyway, I cracked myself up. But anyway, Jeff, it's just, there were so many ways you could look at things that happened to you. I had always been, from the time I was a young girl, you know, looked at somebody who was in a worse position. And I really believe that whoever it is that you believe in, God or whatever, only gives you what it is you can handle. And I thought I could look at this positively or I could look at this negatively. Negatively just did not solve anything. I was angry. No amount of exercise helped me cope with the rage. But all of a sudden being funny and, like you said, looking at something in a completely different way. For instance, I would often, you know, end up just pretending before I started to actually get on stage that I was a comic.
Oh, tell
me. I would go to...
Go ahead. Tell the viewers a little bit more about that and how you did that and the experience of kind of faking it.
I just thought, you know, I've got to get in this mindset because it was really, I have to admit, comedy, you know, was one of the most frightening and probably challenging things I've ever taken on. And so to get in the mindset, I would just practice anywhere I went. If no one had met me before, I would say, they were like, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm part-time stand-up comic. And it was, see, that was the response. Every time I would say that, people's guards would be, it was almost as if they were all of a sudden comfortable with me. I was someone that they liked. And all of a sudden, that dynamic was fabulous. I would make them laugh even without trying. And it was just amazing to me, that social experiment. Sort of putting yourself, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, well, I guess I want to clue the viewers in on this, on your mother. She has this, being Cuban, right?
Right.
I the best way, how did she say, Susan? Is that how
did you say? Susan! Yes, that's how she screams. In fact, I did a show recently where I do her accent extremely well. And someone at the end of the show said, that's not how Cuban women talk. And I was curious. So the next show I came up and I said, I want to just give everybody, you know, sort of, you know, obviously an idea that this is how my mother talks. She just screams. She doesn't say hello. She'll say, what are you? You know, I worked at Johns Hopkins. That's where I trained. And I would be working, and she'd call up and go, where is she? She's at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Not, is Susan, you know, there? So, you know, she's quite a character.
Well, the reason I bring that out is for the listeners that are out there. I mean, you imagine that Susan has her presence referring to her mother with that thick kind of Cuban accent. She's got that going on. She's kind of telling the stories. So you can get a little bit of a visual just on the of the situation when you're telling this. But one of the things I'd like to kind of highlight for those that are listening, because this show is about attention, is two things. One is you're in a tough situation, so you started paying attention from a funny way, which can move you through it. But also what you were doing is like you started kind of walking into parties and just saying, hey, I'm a comic, and actually just doing it, actually kind of standing in to see what rose. I mean, you weren't really getting paid for it at that point in time, right? You were just doing it, standing into that experience, right?
Absolutely. I thought that if you could see yourself as not Susan, you know, average, you know, woman, but all of a sudden if I saw myself as a comic, then ultimately I would act like a comic. And
when you'd step into that role to kind of be, did anything change? I mean, did you actually?
Yes, confidence. I had enormous confidence when I did that. And the male, and I would, you know, comedy is a lot, you base a lot of how you respond to the audience and then people's perception of you. I think that's true anywhere. But when I would see that immediately, even people like an old grouchy, you know, cash register lady at Publix, you know, would let her guard down or make her smile, I thought, this is just incredibly fabulous, you know.
I guess
you know, that was just so wonderful.
Yeah, I guess it's visioning the checkout line. So what are you doing? I'm a stand-up comic, and they're sitting there looking at you going, oh.
No, well, they would always say, no, you're not. And I'd say, yeah, I am. And then all of a sudden, the whole picture would change, you know.
I could see that they got that deer in the headlights look like, oh, this is not where I thought I would meet a stand-up comic or how I'd expect to see them. But sure enough, they kind of catch them on their heels a little bit and go, oh.
Now, for dating purposes, not always the best thing I had on my side for dating. Because if I were in a bar situation, you know, and, you know, would meet some guy for the first time and I would say that, then they would often say, now, you're not going to put me in your act. Men automatically assumed that whatever we were going to talk about, they would automatically be in my act the next day. So it didn't make me necessarily popular in the dating scene, but,
yeah,
you know.
All right. Yeah.
It made me a hit in the supermarket, though.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about. So you're out there, kind of, you know, you're kind of winging it. Just, you know, hey, listen, I'm gonna, whether I am a comic or not, get paid. I'm just gonna walk in and say I am a comic. So you kind of experimented around with that. But tell me about, like, how did you actually get? Because you do get paid for it now. Tell me about the transition of just like kind of faking it in these cocktail parties to actually where you actually, you know, went through, learned some stuff about it, and actually kind of got on stage.
Wow. Locally, we had a small conservatory in the arts that offered a course, and those first attempts were really primitive and crude, and I had the opportunity. I thought, you know, if I'm really going to pursue this, I think just like anything else, it really requires training. You know, if you're not well-trained, then you're not going to be well prepared. So I went to New York. I decided that I was going to spend some money and take about 10 days in New York and train with one of the top guys in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that I realized that I was really onto something. I got into the class and realized that everyone in the class had been doing this for some time and had typesets. I had nothing. And he said, you're going to have to get up here and do 5 minutes. And I thought, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I got up and just winged it. I mean, I went off on a tangent. Like, I was just ranting and raving, like, to my girlfriend. And when I saw this man who was, you know, just the top in the country laugh until he cried, I thought, I've got something. You know,
wow.
I've got a little bit of a gift, or maybe it's just I was holding back. I had something to say, and it was an epiphany for me. I couldn't tell you. That was a high like nothing I've ever experienced. No amount of running, anything could have given me. It was just exceptional.
Wow. You know, I'm going to have you back on. I'm overwhelmed right now. We got 15 minutes to go, and I've got so many questions and so many different tangents to go on. So I'll break them down one time. For our listeners, this is Attention Talk Radio. We pay attention to things different to see what's obvious, but also inherently in that I have a fair number of listeners that are adults that are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And many of them, because I coach a lot of them, many of them struggle because they think kind of very, very much in the moment. And you just said you got up there and were just winging it. It was just coming at you left and right, and it was just easy for you. Is that?
Oh, it was just – I was on. I don't know why. I didn't stop to think. Like you said, I thought – in the moment, you know, and just ran with it. And I don't know, it was almost, I think that's sometimes what we do a lot when we're adults. We overthink mm-hmm. things, you know, and just letting that go and just running with the story. And I was almost ranting at that point and was just brilliant.
Well, one of the things, there's a couple shows I did ago called Insight on Insightful Thinking, and it basically kind of defined the difference between what I call insightful thinking and methodical thinking. Methodical thinking is how you kind of linearly kind of walk through a process, where insightful is the sudden comprehension by paying attention to it differently. That's like an aha. And what I'm hearing is like you just got on a ramble, and just all of a sudden they would kind of come to you, and you kind of flow through that process. And for the listeners out there, one of the reasons why, and we're going to get to some jokes in a second, but I want to do the show is – I don't have any statistics on it, but there's a very large number of comedians that supposedly have ADD, like Robin Williams and what's his name was in City Slickers.
Right. That did yeah. all the stuff. How can I forget what his name is?
There was an interesting show on the History Channel, the History of a Joke, and they got up there and you could watch these people, and they were just kind of in the moment, just dealing with whatever was in front of them at the point in time. And so I wanted to kind of highlight that, because sometimes comedy, particularly improvisation, is insightful thinking, just being in the moment and going with it. The other thing I want to ask you is, when you're up there in New York and you got up there and you did it, but when they started training you, how did they train you in comedy? What did they tell you to think about it? How's it structured? I mean, I'm curious because I've never taken a comedy class.
It's interesting because there's all forms of comedy, and I think that for a lot of us who then started to take classes, the interesting part about it is that it's not improvisational, and geniuses like Robin Williams. That was probably one of the biggest aha moments that I had, when I learned that the stuff that they actually do on a day-to-day basis is so much more well-rehearsed than you could ever imagine.
Really?
That's what makes it look so easy for them. To get a five-minute set
yep.
is so difficult. I mean, you must write probably – and I tend to over-talk anyway – and so I write in that same fashion.
Yep.
You write probably 20 or 25 minutes and whittle it down in what is referred to in the comic industry as economy of language. And
wow.
So then it becomes, you know, taking out anything you don't need for that sacrosanct 5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's so much more well rehearsed. And the more well rehearsed, then where you become more improvisational is how you respond to hecklers, et cetera. But even that is so well rehearsed and well prepared for.
Interesting.
And that was very interesting to me, because I thought people like Robin Williams, and I'm sure right now with, you know, the certain expertise that he has, that a lot of things can be off the cuff. But it's extremely well rehearsed.
Interesting. I tell you what, we've got about 10 minutes to go. I'd like to break for a commercial. Then I
okay.
want to come back and I want to talk about, I got my own thoughts on joke, and I kind of want to get your perspective. I'll actually kind of tell a few jokes. So if you could just hold on a second, let's go to break and we'll be right back.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to dickcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. Today, we're paying attention to jokes. We have in our virtual studio Susan Geedy, stand-up comic, and also Susan, you have another business that you're involved with. Why don't you tell the viewers about that a little bit before we get into a couple jokes?
You got it. I own my own three-dimensional ultrasound company. I specialize in primarily women's imaging, focusing on the use of three-dimensional ultrasound, which is very, very cool in obstetrics. People are familiar with the very amazing images that we can get now that actually show the baby the way you see them in real life. And I focus on gynecology that also doesn't unfortunately get the attention that I'd love it to do. My goal is to actually start offering ovarian cancer screening in the very near future, and something that's been largely ignored. So that's what I do.
For the viewers out there that may be interested in something, how could they get in contact with you if they want to learn more? And by the way, the 3D ultrasound is really cool because you actually can, I mean, for those that are pregnant, I mean, I've seen the pictures of it. I mean, the babies, it's three-dimensional. It really looks, I mean, it looks, a 13-week-old kid, it looks like a person. It's not just like the traditional ones where you can't see anything. So.
Oh, no. And so much so that now, after all these years of doing it, I was actually the first person almost in the country to start practicing three-dimensional ultrasound. So I've got a number of years under my belt. If you take images that we've done, say, of a 30-week baby in utero, and then photograph them in that same position once the baby's born, it is uncanny how much they look like what they're going to look like when they're born. So, and it's a great gift for the dads as well, who tend to have been largely ignored in pregnancy. So for men, it's an experience that is like no other. So it makes me very, very happy.
For those that would those
and so to get a hold of me,
yep.
I forgot about that. They can go to my website. It has a pretty big synopsis about what I do and where to find me, and you get in touch with me, and that is www.ultrasound3d.net. Ultrasound3d.net.
Got it. So we've got about 7 minutes to go, but one of the things that I wanted to have you on to kind of talk about, again, this show is about attention and paying attention to things differently, and I've noticed since I've been an attention coach, I've been paying attention to jokes, and it's interesting to me because there's always seems to be a pattern in jokes. They start off one way, and then at the end, the punchline is usually paying attention to it differently. So, like, example, there's a joke that I heard, you know, my wife walked into the den and asked what's on TV. I replied, dust, and then the fight began. And it was occurring to me, and this is that, you know, many jokes, not all jokes, you walk in a situation, they kind of tee it up a way you pay attention to it, and then at the end, they either pay attention to it differently or they make fun of somebody who's not paying attention to it the way we would all think of it. And I was kind of curious when you were talking about your training, because the more I listen to jokes, the more I'm paying attention to attention. And attention is always a direct or a change in attention, always kind of seems to be there. And
right.
What I'm hearing is when you were going through the classes and stuff, that was really kind of never highlighted or really kind of looked at in that light. Is that right?
Absolutely not. In fact, you know, now that we've had this discussion, you know, it's a great way, I think, to almost educate somebody if they're thinking about going into comedy, you know, is that we are looking at life, at everything in a completely different way. You know, it's almost like the old, what is it, Monty Python, and now for something completely different. Do you remember how they used to sort of lead into that or segue into that? And, you know, it comedy is all about that, from the way you look at your life and try and turn something tragic. Again, I always go back to truth and pain, but it's taking truth and pain and now putting it in a format that's digestible, and people can go, oh, wow, I totally see that. I understand. I get it. You know, and it makes it palatable as well. You know,
well, you know, see, now you're preaching to the choir, because when you said, oh, I get it, the I get it, the aha, the duh, the light bulb, that's essentially what this show is all about. It's showing how when you pay attention to something different, what's obvious is really a function of what you're paying attention to. And what you're saying is in a sense, comedy. I had an old roommate in college, you know, many a truth is said in jest.
Exactly.
So it's used as so many different tools, and it's such a great thing for paying attention to it differently, just like when you were going through tragedy from the divorce, that you decided to pay attention to the humor in it to kind of help get you through it.
I think it made me – in fact, I would go as far as to say it allowed me to not just survive but just excel.
Mm.
As a result of doing something that seemed so outrageous and so beyond my reach, it has opened doors for me that I never would have thought possible. I have become a little bit of a local celebrity. I've become an MC for people in my nonprofit organization. I have had an opportunity to do Dancing with the Stars because I was the local comic. You know, and how wonderful is that? It's a triumph story. You know,
from a launch pad of taking a tough situation, looking at it a little bit differently, making light at it, and then just keep taking step after step after step forward.
Absolutely. You know, and I won't say that there aren't days where, you know, you still are a little bit angry, but, you know, when those moments come, if I can just remind myself to say, what's funny about this? And it's almost that in itself. What's funny about this? And that's how a comic thinks. You know, you asked me that previously, and when I was thinking about that. That was the other thing, that when you're in comedy school or have an instructor, they are constantly, one of the most brilliant and wonderful things about doing it is you look at life differently. And so instead of walking, you know, through your normal life, you're looking at it and going, what could be funny about standing at the cash register today, or mowing the lawn, or, I don't know, tripping over my skirt? And seeing it in that fashion, brilliant.
Wow.
No drugs necessary.
We stumbled into this. This is great. So I loved what you said. It's like, okay, take any situation, just say, well, what's funny about this? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, and working with people a lot, I always teach them, like, pause and ponder, like, stop and pause. Just don't do it. Just pause and think about what you're doing or what you're instinctively doing, and then kind of ponder if that's really what will serve you. But in a sense, you're saying is that, you know, every once in a while you pause in a situation and say, listen, there's something got to be funny here. I just need to pay attention to it.
Exactly. And when you do, it's just crazy. You know, all of a sudden you see the world, instead of black and white, it's now in technicolor. I think I can help you out, Jeff.
Well, I'm struggling. We got 90 seconds to go, and
shame.
I had an intention on here to sit. I mean, I got like jokes on top of jokes in front of me, and so we'll have to find another time to get you back on. This is just absolutely fascinating because we took a couple side roads that I didn't really expect, but this has been
it may be my ADD.
Show.
Well, it was an honor. It was so much fun. I would be happy and thrilled to come back on.
Well, I tell you what, we got 60 seconds to go. We'll have to have a conversation about doing that again. But before we go, why don't you let everybody know your website again, so those that are interested in just learning more about that, the ultrasound stuff, can contact you. And then we'll wrap some stuff up. So why don't you go ahead and give that stuff out.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is www.ultrasound3d.net, ultrasound3d.net. There's also a little, you know, history on the comic stuff and what have you. So if anybody wants to contact me, would love to hear from you. And, of course, if anybody's pregnant, would love to see your unborn baby. So thank you very much, Jeff.
Excellent, excellent. And, again, Susan, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. Listeners, we got a couple good shows coming up here in a little bit on the 20th. Mick Quinn will be on, the author of The Uncommon Path. Check the Attention Talk Radio webpage for more scheduling showtimes. But thanks again, Susan, and everybody have a great week.
Take care, Jeff.